Well, in the run-up to Christmas, a little girl was told by her father, "You're going to have the best present ever." And so as she lay in bed that night, she began to imagine all the wonderful things that Christmas Day would bring. And so night after night, as she thought about her father's promise, the best present ever, her excitement grew and grew. What would she get? What could she expect when the day arrived? Well, before Jesus came into the world, God too made a promise. It was the promise of a wonderful gift, a son who would bring blessing to the world, a savior who would make an end of even death itself, and a ruler who would usher in a new age of peace and everlasting joy. And so the Jews waited for the promise of the coming one, the expected one. And of course, with each passing year, the excitement grew. So much so that when Jesus stepped onto the scene, everyone was asking, "Is it you? Are you the promised one?" But the closer they looked, the more disappointed they became. "You're not what we expected. You're obviously not the promised one. You're not the one we're waiting for." After all, his birth was covered with suspicion. Mary's pregnant before she's married, and a virgin birth, and then running off to Egypt, the old enemy, when Herod sought to kill him. The Messiah who runs away. And if he is the one, where's the joy? There's only weeping at his birth as Herod massacres all the baby boys in and around Bethlehem of 2 and under. And he grows up in Slough. Well, Nazareth. Need we say any more? And he begins his ministry in Galilee. It's like launching your election campaign from the Lake District in a village hall when there's nobody there. And does he mix with the rich and the famous and the powerful? Has he got the X factor? No, he identifies with the weak and the marginalized. And let's be honest, he mixes with the scum of the earth. A fine gift this turned out to be. And what's more, Jesus keeps his identity a secret. Why? If he's the promised one. And just when he gets a following and the crowds throng him, he turns many of them away by speaking to them in riddles, parables. When he arrives in Jerusalem, does he come like the king to end all kings? No, he rides on a donkey. And they call it the triumphal entry. He's betrayed by a close friend, deserted by his disciples, denied by his right-hand man, and then he's crucified. He's stripped naked and nailed to a cross to suffer and bleed and die. To die the cursed death of a hated criminal, abandoned even by God himself. If that Bethlehem night rang with the praise of angels, that day outside the walls of Jerusalem, the air was thick with laughter and mocking and taunts. It's been downhill all the way. From the manger to the mount, the gift that fell short of everyone's expectations. That little girl, isn't it, running into her parents' bedroom at 5 in the morning and waiting for this best present ever and excitement. And as she opens it, she finds that they've given her a house brick. What a letdown. Well, some have thought, as God's obviously not up to the job, Jesus is a publicity disaster. They've rewritten the script. They've rewritten the Jesus of the Bible. So in the Middle Ages, we have the Christ of the tapestries and the icons, a great imperial figure who strikes instant fear and commands immediate respect. Or in the 19th century, the sentimental Galilean, the Jesus who's soft, effeminate, harmless. Or the 21st century Jesus who really is a blank canvas. And we can each write on him our own expectations. But has God got it wrong? Has he overpromised? Does he need a rerun? What do you think? Or maybe we've got it wrong. Maybe he's turning our world on its head. Maybe he's breaking with our conventions. Maybe this unpromising material is exactly what God intended it to be. Maybe we're wowed by the wrong things. This is not supposed to be the religion to beat all other religions. The Jesus with the X factor. The Jesus who can promise you success and everything else. What did the angel say? For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. So he is the Christ. He is the promised one. And he is the Lord. It's a divine title. God has come down to earth. He is God with a human face. And he's the Saviour. He came on a rescue mission. And that is the lens through which we are to view all of this. He came to save. He came to save who? Says the Bible, he came to save people like you and me. The actress Mae West said, "I used to be Snow White, but I drifted." And we've all drifted. The Snow White has turned to grey slush. The Bible says, "I'm contaminated, I'm corrupted by sin. Here I am, living in God's world, enjoying God's goodness to me, and yet I find myself living entirely for me. And I've turned good things into ultimate things. What's wrong with family, work, comforts, laughter, pleasure? There's nothing wrong with them. They're God's good gifts. It's just that I've let those things take his place. And they've taken the place of the real God. The Bible says, I've sinned. And the wages of sin is death. So I need a Saviour. I need someone to rescue me. That's what the Bible says. Someone to rescue me from the punishment in that other place. Aren't you glad now that he was low-born? He's accessible to everyone, even me. And aren't you pleased that he excluded no one except those who thought they were too good for him? I don't have to stand outside the circle of his friendship. And aren't you relieved he's not a crowd pleaser? Haven't we had enough of crowd pleasers, of politicians? I want someone who's real, credible, human. And aren't you thankful he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey? He didn't come on a war horse to punish and to destroy. He came on a donkey. We love donkeys, don't we? We even have donkey sanctuaries. A donkey is unthreatening. He's unthreatening. Sinners can approach him. The guilty are welcome. Children aren't turned away. He's not going to bully me, shout at me, threaten me. And aren't you glad he died on a cross? The sins of countless people who offended God, they were laid on Jesus, so that when God came to punish the guilty, Jesus took the blame. So that all who come to him, they can enjoy the calm of sins forgiven, of peace with God, of life everlasting. We call it being saved. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And now he's risen. And he sits upon the throne of the universe. And he's here this morning, not to threaten, not to bully, but he says, seek me, know me, find me, serve me, enjoy me, love me. I died on a cross to save condemned sinners. So ask me to save you, and I will. Did that little girl get the best present ever? Well, I'm reliably informed that she did. We've all seen You've Been Framed, haven't we? When the kid on Christmas morning gets the wrong present. I'm sure it hasn't happened this morning, but the wrong present, you know, and the kid shouts and screams and they cry and they kick the box. It's the gift they didn't want. And if you don't realize you need saving, then when you look at Jesus, you'll be disappointed. Jesus is the gift that you don't want. Maybe you'll kick the box. It will say everything about you. But those who come to Jesus, seeing what they are and in need of forgiveness, and who bow the knee to Jesus the Lord, they find that Jesus is everything they ever wanted.